Welcome back. Good to have you on a Friday. Here we go. 3 hours today. That's right. Picking you up till 7. And then get ready. Because today is the first of 6 months. We've got Chihuahuas baseball every day but Mondays. That's their travel day. Tim Haggerty, our man. He's an author. A two-time author. And he's going to be joining us coming up in our final segment here at 6:45. Excited about Hags being here. Excited about the show today. Congratulations to North Texas. They did it. They beat UAB for the third time in 4 meetings this season. Rallied late. Got the win. Won the NIT. Good for them. Grant McCaslin's reward. He's going to Tech. And his longtime associate head coach, Hodge, will be the new coach at North Texas. By the way, for those people that kept thinking North Texas is going to hire Joe Golding, come on. I mean, and this has nothing to do with Joe. This is all to do with a guy that's been with McCaslin for 10 years and, you know, has always been the heir apparent. It's like Adrian. Hey, when my time is done here, Adrian, I've already told you, is going to be the heir apparent to host Sports Talk. So, you know, same thing with McCaslin and Hodge. And they were able to get that done. Good for them. I'm happy Joe's sticking around here. And all is good in the sports world, right, Adrian?
That's exactly right. And yeah, I'll stay here as well, Steve. I'm not going anywhere.
Appreciate that.
Joe Golding not going over to North Texas. I think fans may have made a connection knowing that Golding was in the Abilene Christian area and his family lives in that DFW area, knowing that his brother-in-law is Sonny Dykes, head coach at TCU, and he's got, you know, his wife has family out there. He knows that area pretty well. But no, I mean, of course, UTEP will keep their men's best basketball head coach, and the writing was on the wall for North Texas promoting their assistant here in this process. I think a lot of people had speculated they would do that, and today we find out that that will be the case.
Yep, and that just made it official, and that's the way it should be. So, hey, today's going to be a great show. We've got Tyrese Knight, Kobe Hilton on the program. Super excited about that. We're going to break out some Southern Recipe small batch pork rinds with there here in the studio. Excited about that. If anybody listened to our Super Bowl Radio Rose show, you heard that Southern Recipe Small Batch made an appearance during laying down the law. And those guys are great. So they work with the NFL. And as a thank you for being at Radio Row, the president of Southern Recipe Small Batch just sent me 6 bags of pork rinds. And these things are terrific. We got basically these are 4-ounce bags. We got 6 of them. Gave them out except for this one Korean barbecue bag. And, you know, I thought, why not? I'm sure that, you know, Tyrese Knight and Kobe Hilton aren't going to say no. We'll try those on the air. Adrian, you'll try them as well. Korean barbecue flavored for these for this particular brand of pork rinds. And I'm excited about this. This is going to be a lot of fun.
When we did this the first time, Steve, I was a big fan of these. And now that we're running it back and doing it again and have bigger bags this time as well, I'm fired up. I mean, this is Friday. It's already exciting because it's opening day for El Paso Chihuahuas. But today's a really exciting show. This is just one of the few things that we're doing today that's going to be a lot of fun.
I mean, you're right. I hope. Now, let me say this. We are scheduled to have Lane on the show at 5. However, Lane texted me earlier and gave me this message. Hey, Steve, I got a last-minute call for the varsity tournament today, and I'm not sure if it'll be done in time to go on the show. So Lane will be a 50-50 shot today. I mean, okay. I hope he doesn't come on the show because that means he's doing well in the varsity tournament playing for the Coronado T-Birds tennis team. So, you know, hey, listen. As far as I'm concerned, Lane, you know, there's very few things that will derail his appearance on the show. But, you know, getting a chance as a freshman to play varsity tennis, that you know, it's hard to say no to that, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a big deal. And he's chronicled his journey as a tennis player with Coronado here on this show. So, hey, we're big supporters of him as a tennis player as well. So he's got to take care of business, and then he can come over here.
And he's got hot takes. He's got MLB hot takes as well. So, you know, now, you know, I know I know Lane will not eat the Smothered Recipe small batch pork rinds because he keeps kosher, unlike yours truly. So I won't even offer those to him because I don't want to be that kind of guy. But, you know, for the rest of us, it's a chicharrones party out here today on the show.
Yeah, you could just tell him about it. We'll just give him the recap. No worries for Lane.
Alicia Barón is with us as well today on a Friday. Alicia, are you a pork rinds fan? Yes or no?
I am. I just don't know about the Korean barbecue. I've never had flavored pork rinds.
Well, here's the thing, Alicia. Now that you're on the team, you got to try it, all right? You have to. You got to have an open mind, all right? Now, that's the whole key. Even if you've never tried them with flavor, the whole concept behind Southern Recipe is that they've got all these different flavors. In fact, I think I gave Adrian two bags earlier today. Did you get spicy dill?
Yes, got spicy dill. Another one was spicy as well, so I'm looking forward to trying these at some point over the weekend.
Nice.
I'm a pork rinds fan, so it's kind of like a trend, like a social. I mean, Alicia could probably speak to this a little bit better, but there's a social media trend going on where you get like pork rinds, and then you get like a dipping sauce. Some people get like guacamole or just like queso or something, and they dip it and they eat it like in a social media video.
Oh, really?
So this is like a thing.
That's a thing. Okay, I get it. Are we going to do that or no?
I guess so. I have not seen that. I don't know what side of social media you're on, Adrian.
What are you on? I mean, Alicia's never seen it. What are you talking about here? What do you see? Is that a TikTok video? What is that?
I promise you these are real. So,
really?
Yes, I promise you. I'm going to find them. They're hilarious. They're just like guys biting into these chicharrones. They're massive, and then they just take big bites of them. And I don't know. People apparently like them. I don't like them, but people like them.
Listen, I mean, all I'm going to tell you is, and I'm sure Tyrese and Kobe are fans. Oh, maybe they're not. I don't know. We'll find out. We'll see when they join us on the show here coming up in a little bit. I'm excited about that. And then at 6 o'clock, this is also going to be a lot of fun because we are about to talk to somebody here today. And let's see. It's going to be, this is a special conversation, okay? We're going to be talking today to a special guest, and his name is Frazier, and he is essentially in charge of a brand new joystick that is compatible with iPhones.
Steve, I busted mine out already.
This is called the Rotor Riot. It is the Rotor Riot, and this is the official Alpine F1 Team Edition. It is a lightning-controlled, connected controller that is an officially licensed product of F1 made for iPhones. And the beautiful thing is, Adrian, not only have you busted it out, but we have additional versions of this to give away to listeners today, especially if you've got iPhones. This will give you a chance to play games like Sonic, F1 Racing, Grid Autosport, and you can use the controller while you use your phone as the screen. It's very cool. Very cool.
So downloaded Call of Duty.
Oh, my God.
I was doing some work ahead of the show. It was all for this segment. I was trying to do some research, killed some zombies, killed some people in battle, played a little multiplayer. It's like I'm playing on my PS4. I'm not kidding. Like it's a really legit tool. I tried to download the F1 game, having a little trouble, but Zay and Sal are coming by later on today, so maybe they can help me out. Those guys are good gamers.
They'll have some fun with that. But Call of Duty, no problem.
Call of Duty, no problem. In fact, it's actually really easy to use. Played Nuketown. That's a map that they have. So it's like essentially a map that where you get to just go against another team and try to eliminate the other team while they respawn. So it was a solid little go-around I had.
All right, that sounds like fun. So we'll get the opportunity to do that with Frazier on the show here later in the 5 o'clock hour. And that's going to be exciting. So this is what we have coming up today. There's going to be a fun show. And then we got Hags later on. It's beautiful. Beautiful. So anyway, listen, I'm excited, ready to go. It's 12 past. We've got a lot to cover on the show. As far as opening day went, opening day in baseball, my biggest takeaway from opening day, all the stolen bases. I mean, teams were ready to break out the steals after these large pizza boxes that are now disguised as baseball bases, and I think they stole all but one base yesterday.
I mean, there were. I love the big bases. I think it's kind of funny to watch it on TV. And then faster games, Steve. I kind of feel like these games are moving right along. Shohei Ohtani, he tosses and, you know, deals out 10 strikeouts in their opening day loss. Mm-hmm. That's fitting. That's like the most, I guess, fitting headline that you get from opening day in baseball. Shohei Ohtani shines with the Angels, but they still lose.
Yeah, that's the sad part about the Angels. I mean, how many more times do we need Shohei Ohtani to be playing so well in losing games? I mean, isn't that the toughest thing about being an Angels fan? At least last, I don't know, 15, 20 years, is they have all this talent, but they can't win. I mean, yesterday, can't beat the A's. They lost to the A's 2-1. That's what's so frustrating. And if you're wondering who threw pitch for the A's, they couldn't beat a young kid named Kyle Muller, who used to pitch for the Atlanta Braves, who yesterday threw really well.
Yeah, it's disappointing because what we learned from the World Baseball Classic is baseball is much better when Shohei Ohtani is playing relevant baseball games. And if he's not playing in the postseason, if the Angels go through another tough season, it's just going to be disappointing for all baseball fans out there. If he's really, you know, kind of transitioning into one of the faces of baseball, one of the best players in all of the sport, well, I want him to play at the highest stages there is for this game. And
yep.
This Angels team right out of the gate just not looking that solid.
We only have five games tonight. Mets play Miami. We've got White Sox in Houston, Colorado, San Diego, Arizona, the Dodgers, and Cleveland and Seattle. Those are our five games. By the way, Colorado beat San Diego yesterday on the road. How about that?
Yeah, another disappointing start. I think the Padres will be fine when it's all said and done. But Blake Snell, that's the disappointing name that I have for you, Steve. I was just hoping that he would start off much better, knowing kind of what season he had last year. But 17 hits, that's how many hits that the Rockies recorded against the Padres.
A lot of hits. Hey, I got an update on Lane. Apparently the tournament he was called in for today at the last minute is in Chapin. It's at Chapin High.
Oh, maybe he can hang out with Zay over there.
Maybe they're doing it. Maybe Zay's covering the tennis match and saw his good pal. And
that's
Lane
right.
And Zay are together. Who knows? So anyway, we got a lot in store for you today. It's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to a little UTEP football coming up when we've got both Kobe Hilton and Tyrese Knight with us in studios. We'll break out the Southern Recipe small batch as well with them and have a lot of fun today. Good to have Alicia Barone with us. Good to have you with us on a Friday. Opening night for the Chihuahuas. Cannot wait. As we go to Charlie 1 and kick it off right, here's traffic. The biggest names on the UTEP defense. Let's be honest, Adrian. Tyrese Knight, you know, we know he's going to have a big season. Our buddies mentioned him a couple of days ago when we had both Andrew and Eli on the program to talk
right.
about that. And Kobe Hilton was probably one of the best newcomer last year for UTEP when he jumped on the scene as a safety and was doing everything, Mr. Everybody.
Yeah, I felt like what they gained from Kobe Hilton, having him on their team, was having an experienced guy who's played at the D1 level and actually excelled. So Kobe Hilton is a sizable guy who's somebody who you desire to have on your defense. And when somebody like Tyrese Knight, I mean, that's an all-around player. Elijah Klein and Andrew Mayer, they were like, hey, keep an eye out for Tyrese Knight. We've known his name. He's an all-conference type of player. That's the kind of guy he is.
Yeah, Tyrese Knight has just arrived along with Kobe Hilton. By the way, these two are towering over everybody. I think Tyrese goes 6'2". Kobe goes about 6 feet, and let's see if we can untangle their headphones and give them an opportunity to weigh in for the first time here this afternoon. Let's see if this. Oh, we got it's on the phone. That's the problem. The wires. It's the old phone wire trick and the old mouse getting tangled in the headphone connector trick. It's gotta hate when that happens. But nonetheless, hey, Tyrese and Kobe are in the house, gentlemen. Welcome aboard. Good to see you both. How are we doing today?
Doing good. How about you?
I'm doing well. Tyrese, you're wearing that hat. I saw that hat from Eli yesterday, a couple of days when he was here. What exactly is it? It says Savage, and it looks like it's somebody holding a gas mask. What is that thing?
Now, we had someone on our team last year named Joe, and he, like, made some merchandise with hats. And, like,
nice.
He pretty much started promoting it, and really much the whole team got one from him.
So Joe took care of the whole team?
Yes, sir.
That's fantastic. All right. Now, that's good. Kobe, good to see you. How you doing?
Doing good.
Guys,
can't complain.
Excellent. Hey, all right, so as we get things started right now with the two of you, I got to ask you both, how big are you guys a fan of pork rinds?
It's been a little minute since I had them.
All right.
It just kind of depends.
You've never tried them,
never
Kobe?
Never tried it.
Would you be interested? Because here's the thing. Let me give you guys a background, okay? So we're in Phoenix, Super Bowl weekend. We're there for the – we were on Radio Row. We were broadcasting live right before the big game with all the big radio stations. And one of the big sponsors of the NFL is Southern Recipe Small Batch Pork Rinds. So we were talking to those guys, the president, and what ends up happening is – thank you, Alicia – is that a package arrives in the mail like earlier in the week, and what is it? I've got a 6-pack of bags of these pork rinds, okay? And one of them, this is Korean barbecue. That's the flavor, Korean barbecue. So figured, you know what? Break that out on the air. We got you guys coming in here right now. We thought this would be kind of a nice treat for the two of you. So Tyrese hasn't had pork rinds in a while. We call them chicharrones here in El Paso. But, Kobe, let me ask you. This is a serious life decision. I mean, you've never tried pork rinds. Would you be okay diving into these Korean barbecue with us on the air? We'll all try them out and see how they are. What do you think?
Yeah,
sound good?
Yeah.
All right, I know Adrian and Alicia want to try this, too. So hang on a second. Let me open the bag up. All right, let's see here. Not bad. Yeah, you know, for pork rinds, that's a nice taste. All right, let's see. Good smell. We got Southern Recipe here. We're going to throw a couple for you guys. We're going to give Adrian and Alicia a few of these, too. Try these out. We'll eat them on the radio. We'll see how they taste. Our thanks to our friends at Southern Recipe for these. You got it. This is the Korean barbecue is what we're talking about here. All right. Alicia, come back here. I'll give you some for you and for Adrian. We'll try these out. We'll see how they are. And then we'll... Oh, yeah, you can just...
It's just
you can,
chips.
What's that?
Is that basically what it is?
No, it's like pork rinds.
Pigskin.
It's pigskins. Zach, here's another one for you, Alicia. Here you go. So this is... Here you go. Give that a shot. Let me see what you... There, Kobe's just digging right into these things for the first time. All right, let's see here. What do you think, Kobe? Yes or no? Be honest. All right, first time you ever had these. What do you think as far as these Korean barbecue ones go?
That's probably a bad flavor for him.
Yeah, not necessarily the flavor he was looking for, maybe.
Yeah,
not going to do it for you. Yeah, it's not for everybody. Tyrese, you all right with these?
Yeah, they're cool. I'm more of a lot of hot and spicy.
Hot and spicy. Well, Korean barbecue has a little spice to it. Hang on, let me try this. You know, it's all right. I mean, I like Korean barbecue, so I'm all right with that taste. I got a little bit of burn towards the end, which is nice. A little spiciness towards the end. Adrian, what about you and Alicia? What do you all think about these?
All right, I'm a fan of the aftertaste. It's got a good aftertaste. Nothing too overbearing. It's just right. Nothing too crazy as far as I wouldn't say it's too much Korean barbecue. It's just regular barbecue. That's kind of like Lay's barbecue chips.
I am actually not a fan. I think it's a little too spicy for me, but I'm not a fan of spice.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I like them.
If I knew you were not a fan of spice, we would have let you try the cracked pepper and salt. We have those, the sea salt and pepper.
I like them, though. I think they need a little guacamole.
Okay, there it is. Add it up with some guacamole. We can make it El Paso style. We can do that. All right. Well, listen, hey, that's what it's all about anyway. We've got to just, you know, we want you to just try new things. That's the idea. Try new things. Tyrese is eating them, man. That's good. It says, hey, it's, let me say this about Tyrese Knight. I mean, these things have, let me see what I see here. 1 gram of total carbohydrates per serving, which is like nothing. 7 grams of collagen per serving. And it's also gluten-free. And it looks like it's got low fat, you know, not a lot of calories. It's just a snack. It's a food to snack on. So there you go. All right. Happy I could provide these with you guys while we're here in the studio today. Listen, not everybody will show up with pork rinds as you guys just arrive here in the studio. So this is something special. Let's talk about spring ball between the two of you right now. I've heard good things, Tyrese. In fact, when we had both Andrew Meyer and Eli was on the show with him, a couple of offensive linemen, they were both saying, watch out for Tyrese this season. Now, here's the thing. You're not a secret, We saw you last year, just like we saw Kobe making plays all over the field. But they're saying that this could be even a bigger year for you. So do you see that as far as just how 2023 could be shaping up for you?
Yeah, overall, I feel like this is a big season come for me. I just got to keep working hard, trying to, you know, smooth off most of the rough edges and pretty much keep moving forward.
What kind of rough edges are we talking about here? What's rough?
Not really rough. I said little patches, you know, like.
All right, tell me about the patches. I want to hear them. Let me know. What are we talking about
all
here?
Right, pretty much improving all my aspects of my game, you know, like run-wise, pass coverage, you know, tackling, all the extra little stuff.
All right, so a little bit of everything.
Pretty much, top to bottom.
I got you. Well, what do you think you do really well? Like, if you had to talk about some of your strengths, what are those?
I said my pass coverage, my number one strength.
Yeah. Kobe, what do you think? I mean, you're hearing Tyrese talk about his game. If you had to critique, Tyrese's game, how would you describe it?
I like his game, actually. I'm not going to lie. That's the first person I clicked with when I first came here. But
How come you clicked with Tyrese right out of the gate? What happened? What was it about that?
We just had the same, tenacity, I would say. The same, you know, want of the game, flying around and stuff, basically just. That's basically what I say. He's always around the ball, so I try to take pride in that, too, just flowing to the ball as much as I can.
You guys are both hungry, aggressive, that kind of thing?
Yeah.
I got you. Hey, by the way, how did a guy growing up in Georgia end up at Louisiana before UTEP? How'd that happen?
I was all around, honestly. It's my fourth college.
But, is it really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, hopefully your last.
Yeah, it is.
I want this to be your last stop along the road. That's all.
It's definitely my last. Yeah.
Well, I'll say this. When you arrived at UTEP, I thought you had a huge impact last year. And Tyrese, correct me if I'm wrong, but really, Kobe had, he was making plays all over the field. And we were saying that as far as the transfer portal goes, just a big time addition for the Miners.
Yeah, him. He ride alongside me with Toe to Tacos throughout last year. So I know what to expect from every game. And I know he's going to give it his all.
Did you know as soon as he got here that you guys, I mean, could you see the click going as well? Did you guys feel like you meshed just like he said?
Oh, yeah, we meshed from jump one because I was his host when he visited here, so we pretty much knew each other before he even got back, like, in January. So I already knew how things go in up for us.
Oh, there you go. All right. Oh, that's another thing I'm curious about. All right, so you arrive here. Tyrese is hosting you. What do you do on your trip to UTEP? At least stuff you could talk about on the radio. Let's keep it. It's a family show. But what did you do when you arrived with the Miners? Let me hear. How'd the visit go?
The visit went well. I was It was during my season though. I was still at school, so I had to leave midway through. But it was still good. You know, I spent time with the players, coaches, majority of the time, and then really at night. Yeah, you know, that's we.
Yeah.
When I enjoyed ourselves.
There you go. But you felt like this was a good fit right from the get-go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, most definitely.
Where else did you go? Where else were you looking at besides UTEP before you transferred here?
It was just down between Georgia State and Toledo.
All right.
Those are the only ones that had interest out of me.
I'm amazed. A guy like you made so many plays last year. And I'm blown away that you didn't have more interest coming out of Louisiana. Was it just the fact that maybe you weren't being utilized there the same way you were here?
Yeah, that's what it was, most definitely. You know, because going in, I didn't go for my position because, you know, I played nickel and JUCO, but I always knew my position was safety.
Mm.
But going in, Louisiana put me at corner, and I didn't really like it, honestly. I never liked it. So
you felt you were a natural safety from the get-go?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What is it about safety? You just like hitting people as opposed to corner where you got to shadow players?
Nah, it's not even that. I can cover too. You know, that's why I'm exposed that more this year. But I just like being back there and seeing the field, and I can range more. So, you know, it gives me the ability to move.
It's interesting too, because are you the kind of guy that as a play develops and you're in the back, you're basically in the backfield watching the play develop as you then pick up on the way the ball is going to be thrown or the way the play is going to go.
Mm-hmm.
You can see it and it makes it easier for you to then gravitate as opposed to having a play locked down with one man and then just being right there on top of that player and instead of being able to really see that whole field.
Yeah, that's true. That's part of it too. But like I said, I want to show that I can play man too. You know, last year I wasn't really in tune. I just had bad eyes. But, you know, I got people thinking like I can't really play coverage or cover people. But that's a big mistake because,
you know, who thought that last year? We all thought you were probably one of the best players on the defense.
I'm talking about as far as covering-wise. Like covering people, a lot of people would never go my way. Like coaches and everybody in the facility would play around and say, oh, I'm another Jamal Adams. Because, you know, Jamal Adams just like to hit. You know, he don't really cover that much. But it's like, nah, I got way more in my bag. So
you want to show people that you can hit and cover at the same time?
Most definitely.
Who's the most complete safety out there in the NFL right now, if you had to pick one?
Right now?
Yeah.
Derwin James.
Yeah, Derwin. I like Hufanga from the 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of them, honestly. It's a lot of people rising in the game. But my best safety all around is Ed Reed.
It's hard not to like Ed Reed, really. All right. More with Tyrese. More also with Kobe as we continue as Sports Talk rolls along. If you need more of those small batch Ryans, I've got some for you, Tyrese. I'll take care of you, man. Bags ready for you. All right. 505-6009. Let's go to Adrian and get some Sports Center update. We continue. Adrian, I give you your first shot. Throw some questions their way.
Tyrese, last year I was really impressed by several of your games. Most notably, I was really impressed by the game at Rice. You had 12 total tackles in that one and a pass deflection. I believe you had a pass deflection in every single game except for one to close out the season. How'd you kind of gain that pass coverage mentality as a linebacker and improved in that regard?
Overall, I said honestly, I just started reading routes, more developing, and like when you keep looking, like getting heads left to right, you start to see routes coming and pretty much put you in position to make a play, because staying at the quarterback not gonna get you where you need to be.
Kobe, I have a personal question for you. Were you named after Kobe Bryant?
No, actually, it's I just named Kobe because all right. So at first it was gonna be named Christopher, but then my dad didn't like it. He said it was too long. I was gonna learn how to write it for too long, so he just gave me Kobe.
You know, your dad could have just, you guys could have just called you Chris.
I said the same thing. I promise you, I said the same. I say it till this day.
and he said, no, we're going to change. Now, would Christopher have been with a K as well, just like Kobe?
Oh, no, I was going to be with a C.
It was?
Mm-hmm.
All right. But again, it's not, and listen, the people think you were named after Kobe Bryant, that's not a bad thing.
It's not bad. I just want to let people know that's not the origin, because my dad don't even know about basketball for real.
So what was Kobe a popular name in the early 2000s because of Kobe Bryant and more people were starting to name their kids Kobe as a result?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do we have a lot of LeBrons getting born these days and being named LeBron?
No, I don't think nobody could name their son LeBron.
I don't think so either.
Somebody definitely named their son LeBron.
What's that?
I said somebody definitely named their son LeBron out there.
That would be crazy.
Well, but that's that's kind of the funny thing about names. You just never know truly how people are just going to go and name. How about you, Tyrese? Are you named after anybody in particular? Any good stories?
I think really the way my name's spelled, the only way someone got Tyrese spelled like that. Like, my name's spelled Tyrese. Peter probably spelled it the other way.
All right. Well, maybe it'll be some UTEP fans that watch you play this year, and they'll be so excited. They're going to start naming their kids Tyrese, and next thing you know, there'll be a bunch of Tyreses born in El Paso next year. How about that?
Oh, man.
All right.
Keep the origin going.
There you go. Guys, as far as spring practice goes, give me a little bit of your take on how the first we'll start about the defense. How's the defense looking as a whole? We're talking linebackers, DBs, linemen up front. How is this UTEP? I think the UTEP defense is one of the best in Conference USA to begin with. Are you guys going to be even better in 2023?
Oh, yeah, for sure. We got a lot of new guys, but they starting to learn the plays way, like learn the plays more, so I feel like this season will be way better.
I like new guys. Kobe was a new guy last year. Look how he turned out.
We installed a lot, so you don't got no choice but to learn and plays.
That's true. Kobe, what are your thoughts on the defense?
I feel like we're coming along just right. You know, we still got time, but exactly how I pictured it before the offseason, before spring, was exactly how it was going. You know, just making plays, challenging receivers more, making plays on the ball. You know, it wasn't too much of that going on last year. I just want to incorporate that more. So the more we train ourselves to do it in practice, we're going to step up and make them plays in the game.
A lot of depth now in the defensive back room and also the linebacking core guys. A lot of guys are going to be pretty deep in there.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it's a lot. Coach Demo and Coach Pivito and all them recruited good, you know, got some depth in there. So we definitely got people to come up for different packages, you know, things like that.
What about this? I got a question. All right. So this next year, we're moving from Nike to Adidas. Mm. How'd that go over on the team?
It went good. I mean, Adidas have its pros and cons, but more people prefer Adidas more than Nike.
Do they really?
Yeah, that's, I say, just for the fact that the jersey way more tighter, can't really get hold like that. So I say that's one thing.
Oh, that's interesting. So Adidas jerseys are even tighter than Nike jerseys.
Yeah, for most though.
Is it crazy, Kobe?
Too tight.
Really?
Yeah.
so tight that do you feel like it's almost you have to get used to it a little bit, don't you?
Yeah, like first couple of days before practice, people were struggling in the locker room to put it on. Like, we need help from other people and stuff to pull it down. It was too much.
Now, you're wearing practice jerseys, right? But are these practice jerseys the exact same as the gamers that you're going to be wearing when the season starts in terms of the way they fit?
I think the fabric is going to be a little bit different. I think it's still going to be tight, but it's still going to be, like, easy to slide on. Because Adidas game jerseys are more stretchy. You know, they're tight, but they're more stretchy, so you can just slide on more.
You know what I want to see? I'm hoping that Adidas does this. I hope that they'll make some replica jerseys for fans. Because wouldn't it be nice if fans can actually show up to the stadium wearing jerseys, something we never saw before, because Nike never offered replica jerseys for the fans to buy to begin with. So we never saw those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be a good thing for them to do.
Yeah, I agree.
That's a good idea.
So especially for the family.
That's true, too. And then maybe... Let's not get too crazy, but NIL opportunities for the two of you guys. You get a chance to be able to start getting your jerseys, and maybe there's ways to make some NIL money out of it. Yeah. That wouldn't be so bad either.
That's a good way we can go.
That's right. By the way, as far as NIL goes, have the two of you had a chance to really experience that yet, or are you hoping that this will be the year where you'll start to tap into some of those NIL chances?
For me, I hope it started rolling around once the season get going, really the off season, but nothing right now.
You gonna have a clothing line or something like that, Tyrese? What are you gonna do? Anything special?
Oh yeah, I'm tripping. Matter of fact, I do got a clothing line. I should have wore it today, but I got like hats, cell phone cases.
Oh really?
Shirts, hoodies, and long sleeves.
Tell me about this clothing line of yours. What's the design? What's the name? What's the brand? What's it like? Let me hear what you've got. So, all right, he's reaching for it. Well, he reaches for it. Kobe, how would you describe it?
Let me hear. He got a nice little deal going on.
That's my own case right here.
Stuff. Oh, that's cool. So it's actually like a phone case, but it shows. Let me explain this. This is really cool. It's Tyrese's number. His name is spelled out. It's a shot of him as a UTEP minor, but there is no logo of UTEP or it's just it's like airbrushed out perfectly. is that El Paso in the background? What city is that in the background? What is that? What is that right there? Is that downtown El Paso? What is that from?
It looks like El Paso.
It looks like San Jacinto. I like
that. That's what I thought, too. Who designed that for you, Tyrese? I like that.
It's just a marketing dude I know.
Very good. Right. All right. Do you have a website to sell that stuff yet or not yet?
Oh, yeah, I do. It's on a website called FanArc. You just really just log in or really just go to the website and type my name.
FanArc.com?
Right.
All right, I like that. That sounds good. Kobe, are we going to do something for you now? Are you going to try to come up with something? Give me your thoughts.
I'm going to try. I'm trying to get something going on. But it's a thing throughout the school. You can go on and get a jersey, but that's the most I got, honestly, right now. But hopefully it'll roll around the more I make plays and stuff.
Do you have a nickname, Kobe?
Hitman.
Hitman? So maybe we can have like Hitman Hilton gear and something like that. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, that would be cool.
All right.
Be in the works.
We'll see what we can do. All right. We're going to come back, wrap up the hour with both Kobe and Tyrese, talk a little bit more. I want to find out about the offense from these two as well and what they're going up against as far as UTEP's ones and twos. We'll do that in a minute. Sports Talk at 600 ESPN El Paso. 48 pass as we continue right now. We got Tyrese Knight. We also have Kobe Hilton, members of the UTEP defense. Spring ball wraps up on Thursday. You guys ready for the end of spring, or do you want to keep playing, keep hitting out there? How's it going?
I actually want to keep going. Spring went a little too fast for my liking.
Yeah.
Bittersweet.
Did you guys stay in town for spring break, or did you go back home?
I stayed here. It wasn't a point for me to go back home.
Yeah. Same. As far as the summer goes, will you spend most of the summer in El Paso, or are you guys going to be going back home, working out, and getting ready? How's it going
to
work?
I'm going to be for my summer break, I'm going to go to Dallas to work out for the whole little May break. They come back like the last day before we got to be back.
Okay. And for you, Dallas is home and you enjoy being out there?
Oh, no, I'm from Florida.
Oh, are you really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what's going to happen in Dallas?
Just a little train, you know, stay in shape, perfect my craft.
Have you been there? Have you been there before already in Dallas doing this, or is this the first time?
No, first time.
You excited?
Yeah, yeah, it's a good opportunity for me.
Good for you. Is there going to be other, I'm sure other football players going to be there with you as well, right?
Yeah, 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 for sure.
All right. Kobe, what about you?
I'm going back home. I'm going to Georgia. To work out with my trainer, Oliver Davis. You know, he's going to get me right. That's good for the season.
Do you guys miss home? I mean, for you, Florida, Tyrese, you miss Florida or not really after all these years?
No, I only just miss my mom. That's pretty much it. Everything else can wait.
She going to come and spend some time with you in Dallas?
Yeah, yeah. She'll come for my graduation in May.
There you go. That's good. What are you going to be getting your degree in?
I think criminal justice.
You think?
Yeah.
I mean, how just out of curiosity, your graduation's 2 months away, right? This May or next May?
This May.
So how are we thinking it's going to be criminal justice? How do we not know for sure it's criminal justice?
I'm pretty sure it's criminal justice.
I hope for your sake it is criminal justice. That would be good. Kobe, what about you? How close are you to getting your degree? Next year?
In the fall.
Okay.
Graduating in the fall.
What are you looking to get yours in?
Multidisciplinary studies. Because when I first came, my credits didn't transfer over all the way. So.
What was your original major when you were?
Kinesiology.
Okay.
Yes, sir. So.
And multidisciplinary studies is the greatest degree ever because it can encompass everything, right? Whatever you want it to do. So that mm-hmm. that sounds good.
All of the above.
That's exactly right, Tyrese. How's the offense looking for UTEP here in the spring? Give me a scouting report.
Yeah, looking good. You know, you got two batters slinging that thing. You know, receivers getting better, getting open. They got some new tight ends, new running backs. Pretty much the all-around new look.
I know. I saw that new running back, number four.
He's
6'2", 250 pounds. Looks like a bowling ball.
You said 250?
Let me see how much. No, he's probably two and a quarter. Let me see what he weighs. Franklin's
like
weight, he's listed as 225. You think he's closer to like 210?
No, I give him like 218, 218. 220.
Do we lie when we give these heights and weight? Let me see. Because according to this website, UTEPMiners.com, what are you listed at? You're listed at 235. Is that accurate or is that a lie?
That's a little accurate.
Hang on. Kobe's laughing. Kobe, what do you think? You think is Tyrese 235 or is that just a complete garbage?
Yeah, it's complete garbage.
And by the way, you're listed at 205.
There we go. But I'm dropping it down for this season, too.
Oh, you are?
I feel like I was too heavy.
You want to get to, like, what, 195?
180.
180?
Nah, he's playing. He's playing. But I like just 5 pounds, nothing too crazy.
Okay.
199, 200.
I got you.
Around that area.
All right. Outlook for the Miners this upcoming season. You know, 2 years ago, you were 7 wins. You had Fresno on the ropes in that bowl game a couple times in Albuquerque on the verge of trying to pull that W off. What are we thinking is going to happen this year, guys?
Oh, for sure. We're going to get back to that bowl game, win the season, win the conference, all the whole 9 yards.
You want to just go out on top and just go out with a bang, don't you?
Yeah, you might as well.
Absolutely. And by the way, this year you get a chance to go play Arizona. Jacob Cowing, you know him. You're going to go up against him again. Get a chance to also play Northwestern against the Big Ten team. You guys have a chance to make some noise here in the non-conference start of the season.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. This is like what we're going to do, too. Make some noise, shock some people.
No, the names don't mean nothing. You know, everybody put their shoulder pads and stuff on same way.
We're just going to go out there and play our game. Like I was about to say, as far as bowl game, that's not even a worry. We shooting for conference. That's how confident we are, and just everybody playing together as one. That's the scariest part. Like, everybody's clicking together. So
does this camp – I know this is your second camp, right, Kobe, your second spring. Tyrese, you've been doing this for how many years now at UTEP? Only three. Okay, so for this, does this seem different for you guys than the previous for you, Kobe, last year and previous two seasons, Tyrese? You tell me.
Oh yeah, for sure. You know, it's just a different feeling being around everybody. Everybody feel a lot closer than it was last year. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of me, a lot of us and we.
I got you, Adrian. Back to you.
Guys, want to ask you specifically about playing Wednesday night games in October. Your thoughts on that, and how do you even prepare for it?
You should see their faces that. Right now when you threw that out there. Their heads are down and shaking it down. Oh, my God.
Hey, man.
Hey, Cuss Action, everybody. CUSA Action is coming. It's here.
That whole October going to be crazy.
It is crazy.
The weekend's going to be the weekdays. This is going to be a whole crazy schedule.
You're playing New Mexico State on a Wednesday.
If you be nobody in the stands.
Nah, there'll be people. There are going to be people. You want to know why? It's a rivalry game.
Right. Yeah,
That's why. People will make time for that game.
Students don't have any excuse to miss them.
Got school in the morning.
That's true.
All right. Well, that's Wednesday nights is for you. So, okay. So, listen. Excited about the season. Excited for the two of you. You mentioned conference. Do the two of you set personal goals or not really? Is it all team-oriented?
Well, you know, everybody got their own personal goals or what they want to go in the season trying to get. But overall, you know, your team goal come first.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Do you want to even mention your personal goals?
Yeah,
I
definitely got a personal goal.
What's that?
I'm shooting for first team everything. First team all conference, first team all American, first team. I'm shooting for because I was only a few steps away last year and just, you know, year two coming back with more IQ. Yeah, it's going to be crazy. I don't want to say too much, but it's just.
You want to be on that Nagurski Award watch and things like that, too?
Yeah,
that would be nice, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Listen, guys, I appreciate you both being here. Thanks for eating pork rinds. Thanks for being part of the show. And we're excited. Thursday will be the last spring practice. That's going to be open to the public out at the Sun Bowl. Looking forward to seeing people out there. And before you know it, season's here. 2023 season is here. Come back and see us during the season so we can keep tabs and find out how things are going, all right?
Just let me know. We'll do it.
All right, you got it, guys. Tyrese Knight, Kobe Hilton with us. The Sports Talk continues. Come back with more in a moment. 600 ESPN El Paso. Back here on Sports Talk, hour two of the show is underway. Along with Adrian Broaddus, Alicia Baron, I'm Steve Kaplowitz, line ringing in. 505-6009, that is our telephone number. 505-6009, get you right on in and through to the program. Lane Frank was supposed to join us to begin our 5 o'clock hour. However, he is right now out at Chapin playing in a varsity tennis tournament. Congratulations to Lane getting that opportunity as a freshman. I love that. And always excited about that as well. We were interviewing a couple of UTEP football players, eating chicharrones flavored from our friends at Southern Recipe Small Batch on the show. This came from Pinky a little while ago. Back in the day in Socorro. I like how he starts that. Back in the day in Socorro.
That's like the 60s. That's like back in those days, right?
Don't you think we should create a screenplay for a movie? And the movie should be called Back in the Day in Socorro.
That would that'd probably be a 30-minute film, though, unfortunately.
Ooh, boy. He said that, not me, Pinky. That wasn't me.
Sorry, Pinky.
He said when someone would have a Matanza de Marano, it was a big weekend, familia and neighborhood party. Chicharrones were huge pieces with some manteca dipped in salsa or guacamole, like the real AB said. And then add Louisiana hot sauce. And that was the party.
Okay, I take it back. Maybe it'll be a 3-hour film. That actually sounds a lot of fun.
Could be fun. Anyway, our thanks to Pinky for getting in. You want in, 505-6009. Tweet the show, 600 ESPN El Paso. Message us on our mobile app. Powered by First American Bank. Easy ways to get right on in and through to the program today. Let's begin. Roberto will kick us off here in hour number two of Sports Talk. Roberto, what's going on? How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good, Steve. How about you?
Doing fine, thank you.
Yeah, just wanted to bring you into the loop as far as Coronado Lacrosse.
Yeah, what's going on with Coronado Lacrosse these days? It's been a while since we've talked to Coronado Lacrosse.
Yeah, well, with COVID, everything went down a different direction, but they're playing this weekend. And they're playing they're Albuquerque Duke City. I mean, they're just Duke City is they just go and recruit players from all Albuquerque, and they call themselves Duke City.
Okay.
They'll be playing tomorrow at 10 at, what's that, on Wallbanger?
You talking Wallenberg?
Wallenberg, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, let me tell you something. I wish we had a street called Wallbanger in El Paso. That would be the greatest.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
They play Duke City at 10. That's the high school varsity. Then they play Rio Rancho at 12.
Okay.
But the thing is, Steve, there's about, all the teams from the Albuquerque, Santa Fe youth groups are coming in.
Oh, nice.
So that's why they have to play there, because there at that park, there's going to be games going on in the lower field and then in the upper field.
Okay.
So the games start at 9:10, but there'll probably be about 10 youth groups.
Good to hear that lacrosse is getting bigger in the area. That's good. That's really good.
Yeah. In fact, there's a strong move for Coronado to go into the West Texas. West Texas Lacrosse League is really, they're more than likely that's the direction they're going to go.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're looking at San Angelo, Amarillo. Of course, Midland is always there. They'll be playing teams from San Antonio and Dallas.
Okay.
So, but, yeah, you know, and if anybody can make it out there so they can see what the game is all about. But it's great. I know you have a little one, right?
I do.
You got a little son.
I do.
You know, maybe that he could go watch those little guys play because the ages start at 8. I think they can start playing at 8-year-old.
All right. I'll check that out. Wallenberg tomorrow.
Right, tomorrow. Okay. Yeah, Coronado at 10. And, you know, if anybody's interested in learning the game, even at the high school level, you know, they can call the Coronado lacrosse line, and they'll be able to give them all the information. But it's a good game. It's a fantastic game.
Roberto, I appreciate that. Thanks for giving us the lowdown. Thanks for sharing and, again, giving us all that good news about what lacrosse is happening here in El Paso, not just to Coronado, but all over the city and all over the area. That's important.
Yeah. I hope you make it tomorrow.
Well, I appreciate the invite. Thanks for the call.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Roberto checking in at 9 past as we continue here on Sports Talk. 505-6009, that is our telephone number to get into the program. And already I'm looking right now, and we've got ball players on the grass at Southwest University Park getting ready for opening night in about 2 hours when the Chihuahuas hook up with the Space Cowboys. The Sugarland Space Cowboys will be doing battle out here at Southwest University Park. Should be a lot of fun, and we're excited about that. Excited about having baseball return. Tim Haggerty will join us about an hour and 40 minutes from now, and we'll get Hags giving us the lowdown on everything happening with the El Paso Chihuahuas and opening night. That is for sure. Meanwhile, Adrian, Final Four. Now that North Texas is our NIT champs, Charlotte, our CBI champs. Can Florida Atlantic get to the title game on Monday? By the way, very important note, if you heard the commercial during the last break, folks, Adrian will be hosting our national championship party for the first time ever out at Border City Ale House this Monday night. I will be at the El Paso Athletic Hall of Fame. It will be the last chance for the nomination recap and voting for the class of 2023. I have nominated the great Eddie Guerrero in the posthumous category, Joe Mensch in the media and a contributor to athletics category. So I have both of them to make sure that our voters will get to know a little bit more about than the votes themselves, and that will probably take up a good chunk of Monday's showtime. So unfortunately for me, I cannot be at the Ale House with you. The good news is you're in great hands with Adrian, who will get a chance to experience that for the first time and be part of the national championship party out there at Border City Ale House.
You know, I love every time I get a chance to go out there for Big Monday at Border City Ale House. It's always a great time. This Final Four is going to be so exciting. I mean, we've got all the underdogs. That's what, you know, the city of El Paso is a town of underdogs, so they will appreciate the fact that we've got Miami, UConn, Florida Atlantic, and San Diego State here in the Final Four. I'm so excited. It's at NRG Stadium in Houston, Texas, so it's a Texas Final Four. But you know what? We could get two Florida teams in the championship when it's all said and done. We could be going coast to coast with San Diego State versus UConn if that ends up happening. We have a lot of local ties between Kamani Jones Young, who's out there with UConn, the assistant coach, Tristan Newton, Burgess High School graduate. That's another local connection as well.
Listen to this. According to Arash Markazi, the get-in price for Saturday's Final Four in Houston is $57. On TickPick, which I guess is a ticket app like StubHub that guarantees the lowest prices anywhere. $57 is the get-in price for Saturday's Final Four. The get-in price for Monday's National Championship game in Houston, $55 on TickPick. The get-in price for a ticket to both sessions, $80. This is record low prices at this point in the week. That is unbelievable. Now, I'll say this. If the Longhorns were playing, the prices would be probably five times as high because of all the demand in the state of Texas. But with Texas out and dealing with schools like Florida Atlantic, UConn, Miami, and San Diego State, I understand why the get-in price is so low. They don't have the fan bases. They're not necessarily all going to travel. And as a result, you know, tickets are more affordable now than ever. So if you ever wanted to go to a Final Four, hey, drive to Houston tomorrow and go get in for $60 to go watch a Final Four, which you can knock off a bucket list.
I'm not surprised hearing that ticket price because Florida Atlantic didn't even have fans. I mean, we've seen some of those games. There's like 400 people out there in Boca Raton watching the Owls, even though they only lost three games this year. San Diego State, my uncle flew into the airport in San Diego today, and he's said that there wasn't a single merchandise or item of memorabilia from San Diego State Aztecs at the airport for sale or anything like that. So that town probably doesn't have as much fans as maybe one would think. And, you know, UConn, Miami, how many fans are actually traveling among those two teams to go out to Houston to watch their squads in the Final Four? I think you mentioned Texas. Proximity has a lot to do with it. And I'm not surprised seeing that ticket price being that low.
Oh, I'm not either. But understand this too, Adrian, and it's very important that we mention this as far as the Final Four goes. That's to sit in the top row in the whole facility. Okay, that is in the 600 section, which is it's one of those seats that's a last row. Now, if you want to sit down low in the hundreds to sit there, you're going to be paying a little more money. You're looking at paying about $1,700 a pop. So, you know, I understand that that the top row is, you know, basically $50 to $100 for a ticket, but you're also way, that's just to be in the building. Like, if you want a good seat, okay, and you want to have a chance to watch the game in really what I would consider a good vantage point, it's still going to cost you somewhere in the, you know, the thousands just to be a part of it.
I would also say this, it's NRG Stadium, so it's a football stadium. So if you're only paying, what, $50 to $80 to get tickets to these games, you're not probably going to watch much of it on the court. You'll probably watch all of it on the video board.
Even in the 500 section, which is just below, it's $300 a pop. So still, you know, again, just to get into the building, I understand that. But just bring your binoculars or keep your ticket stub just to tell people you went to the game, because that's probably all it's going to be.
Hey, speaking of the fact that they're playing at NRG Stadium, at a football stadium, does FAU have any sort of advantage knowing they played the Conference USA tournament at the Star? So having played at a football facility previously, they always say that, that when it comes to the Final Four and they play in these huge venues, it's kind of hard to shoot. Like these teams have difficulties actually making some buckets.
It's not a real football stadium. Number one, it's a practice facility. And number two, they curtain off the stadium. And the way it's seated, it's like a little small arena. Okay. In fact, one section is like 20 rows or 30 or 40 rows up. The other side is probably temporary bleachers. And no, it is there. I can tell you this because I've called games in the Star. There is absolutely 100% no similarity between playing the CUSA tournament and playing in the Final Four.
High ceilings? Any similarity there?
No.
High ceilings? No?
No.
It's not even high ceilings. Wow.
Even if it is high ceilings, it's just the configuration. Trust me, when you're at the Star in Frisco covering these games, you don't feel at all like you're in a football stadium. You feel like you're in some weird makeshift facility that essentially has like one section of fans and that's it. It's bizarre.
Yeah, I mean, contrary here, you're having 60,000 plus fans yelling at this game. So what, they had six fans at the Conference USA tournament?
You're really throwing darts today, aren't you? You are.
I'm not a fan of CUSA.
Six fans at the CUSA tournament. You are just. I had no idea you were gonna be. You're gonna be in this kind of a mood today. I like it. It's
yeah,
good.
It was first the Wednesday mention for Conference USA games, and then it's the mention of the star at Frisco. Which hey, it's the last year, so now it's up to bid. We'll see which university wants to host the CUSA tournament.
You're a little salty today. I like that. Like the pork rinds we just ate a little while ago. Good. 17 past. Getting going here on our Friday edition of Sports Talk, 505-6009. Let's send it back right now to Charlie One and get this traffic update. Sports Talk, 22 now past the hour. Is that Sal who's arrived?
That's right.
Look at that. You know it's opening day when Sal Montes is in the house. How excited is Sal knowing that there's Southern Recipe small batch pork rinds waiting for him?
Oh, man, Steve, I'm excited. That's the first thing I saw when I got in here. And then after about 5 minutes, I was like, oh, hey, guys, how are you?
That's awesome. The truth is, you said it earlier, Adrian, Sal is like the ambassador for pork rinds. So when we knew that the folks at Southern Recipe Small Batch, who we saw at the NFL Radio Row in Phoenix last month, were kind enough to send us a care package, I knew this would be right up Sal's wheelhouse.
He's got to bless off on these, though. I mean, we got to get the full review from Sal because you heard from all of us on these pork rinds. I think it's fair to say we're split. Like between Tyrese Knight, Kobe Hilton, you, Alicia, myself, I think it's kind of a split right now between people who liked them and kind of those who give it a thumbs down.
Don't expect Southern Recipe to sponsor Sports Talk anytime soon after listening to that from Adrian. Adrian has just been throwing zingers out all show long. All right.
I'm a big fan.
I'm going to have to doctor the air check, Adrian, and take care of that after you just now and see what we can do here. But no, all kidding aside, I want Sal to be 100% honest because you know what? Hey, if he, if he doesn't like them, he's got to tell us, right? And go from there. What are you starting off with? Are you starting off with the Korean barbecue or the other one? Which one are we going for first? So I'm curious. Go ahead, Sal.
1 second. I think I heard you say which one I'm going for first.
Yes, which one are you going to be eating first, Sal? Let me hear. If it's going to be the Korean barbecue or will it be the chili cheese?
So I'm going to try the Korean barbecue first just because I have a feeling, I have a pre-bias. I think I'm going to like the pasilla chili cheese.
All right. I'll try the Korean barbecue first and see what you think here.
Do you want to hear my chews on
it? Yeah, sure. Right. If you want to, that's fine.
We're all in. Let's do it.
Yeah, go ahead. Give it a shot. Make it work. Make it happen.
Okay. I'll pick a winner. But I can't even give a score because then that determines the winner. So
that's true. Just eat that. The first one you ate was the Korean barbecue.
Korean barbecue.
And now you're having the, this is the chili cheese, correct?
Yes, the chili cheese. Let's try this one.
All right. Go ahead. Just to give people background, Sal will eat these during games and pretty much frequently do this. So, all right. You've tried both of the flavors that we've offered you today. How would you rate? Which one's the winner?
I gotta go Korean barbecue.
Yeah,
I like Korean barbecue because you could taste it's more savory.
Mm-hmm.
And not
mm-hmm.
to put down the pasilla chili cheese, it's pretty good still, but I expected more from it. I feel like there's I can't taste the chili or the cheese.
Yeah, so
I
you
taste
feel
seasoning,
like
the, but what is it?
Right, so you feel like from a flavor standpoint, the flavor profile for Korean barbecue really stands out.
Yeah, I gotta go. If I have to go out of five, maybe 4 out of 5 for Korean barbecue.
Okay,
and then pasilla chili cheese, give me 2.5.
Yeah.
However, I'll say this: it doesn't matter because when hot sauce in the house, that's going on it either way. So
that's a good point. The good point is, and that should be very much a staple, right? That when you eat these, you need to put hot sauce on top. Do you keep hot sauce in the studio just in case?
No, I'm not. That would be a big problem. I usually bring it with me.
Do you have it with you today or no?
No, I didn't.
I have some in the fridge in the office. Would you like some for that today?
Let's meet
now.
In
will
a
you
bit.
Will you just dump it in the bag and shake it up and eat it like that? Is that how you do it?
It depends on the size of the bag, because then it'll get all soggy. You got to eat it timely. That's the number one thing. So if it's a smaller bag, like growing up in the neighborhood, the ice cream truck that never sells ice cream, by the way, but they have all the chips and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you would put it in there, the chicharrones bags or whatever. But
I'm learning.
A bag like this, nah, don't put hot sauce in here unless you plan on eating the whole thing, which is very, very tough to do.
I understand. Listen, hey, I'm happy you tried it. That's the most important thing. And oh, how about this? Listen to this. Some more tweets coming in from Pinky. My neighbors, the champions, big UTEP fans, finally got lottery tickets for this weekend's Final Four at Houston. I didn't even realize there was a lottery for the Final Four. Did you, Adrian?
No, I didn't, but that's really cool. I'm happy for the champions. They're big UTEP supporters as well, and Pinky's always hanging out with them, so that's really cool stuff.
All right. I'm happy for them, too. That is, that's what it's all about. Anyway, we've got first pitch here about 90 minutes from now. A lot of people are heading out to the ballpark tonight. We've got home games tonight, tomorrow night, Sunday at noon, and that'll be the ring giveaway. That's when they're going to be giving out 1,500 10th anniversary replica rings for all the first 1,500 fans in attendance. Tonight, I think, is rally towel night, and then tomorrow is really everybody wins because that's you know, fireworks night. And let's be honest, Adrian, giveaways are normally for the first 1,500 fans in attendance. Fireworks are for everybody. And that's a very, very cool thing when it comes to the Chihuahuas.
That's right. I would feel, I feel like every year they outdo themselves for the fireworks show as well. I mean, and I'm not just saying that. Like, I'll kind of say to myself, well, I'm not going to stick around. And then I'll get talked into the fireworks and then the fireworks show. And then when we watch it, I'm amazed because they always add something new to the fireworks show every single year. I love how they sync it to the music as well. And they just do a great job at it every single Saturday.
I want to ask you about a story that is broken today from Tom Izzo, Michigan State head coach. He was asked about the NCAA's plan to limit the immediate eligibility exceptions for two-time transfers. And Izzo said he has no faith in the plan from the NCAA to limit the immediate eligibility exceptions for two-time transfers, because he said players will continue to use issues such as mental health to earn waivers. Izzo, who also said he's against players gaining immediate eligibility if they transfer a second time, made the comment this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. So here's what's interesting. Earlier this year, the NCAA sent a memo to schools that stated players who transfer a second time won't be granted a waiver and will have to sit for a season if they transfer for reasons such as a coaching change or reduction of playing time. But apparently, concerns about physical or mental health or physical or sexual assault will allow a player to qualify for immediate eligibility. Here was Izzo's direct quote. I don't have a lot of faith in the NCAA. This waiver thing, if you've got a hangnail, you get a waiver. I just don't believe in that because I think somebody, whether it's a lawyer, whether it's agents, whether it's people, they're going to just come up with a different reason. Mental health is a big reason. I just don't see why sitting out is such a bad thing because 90% of the kids that are sitting out aren't pros anyway or they'd go pro. He went on to say that the waiver system that grants players immediate eligibility hurts them in the long run because they don't learn to become resilient. Now, that is interesting. It really is because he said that the portal right now has 1,200 kids. By Tuesday, there could be 1,500 kids. And then he said a second wave of kids in the portal. And kids are going to go places that maybe it's a little bit for the money. Maybe it's because they're worried about beating somebody else out. We all had to beat people out, and I think we're losing that. Where's the competitive edge? Now, I agree completely with Izzo about the idea that as soon as there's any adversity, a lot of players just don't even deal with it. They go right into the portal and try to go someplace else, which to me doesn't send the right message. I am under the belief that, hey, you know what? There's nothing wrong with competition. Competition is healthy. And you shouldn't have to worry about beating somebody out. Why should you feel that the minute the going gets rough, you just leave and go someplace else and can get immediate eligibility. Shouldn't be that way.
Coaches have that freedom, though. They can leave anytime they want from their own school and
stuff.
Oh, you're
right.
Like
how often does Tom Izzo leave?
Never. No, I mean, Tom Izzo's a throwback, man. Tom Izzo's a throwback, and he's all about loyalty, and he's the last of the old school generation of coaches. I mean, Boeheim just was forced to be retired over at Syracuse. Coach K retired last year. Same with Roy Williams. So you have all these great faces of college basketball who are leaving the sport, mm-hmm, and Izzo is kind of standing up for it, is kind of that, you know, he feels like he has to kind of stand up for the sport itself and kind of maintain some sort of, you know, honor in the competition and what we're seeing. I think we've seen abuse from the transfer portal from some of these players. You hear fifth school in 5 years or whatever, you know, things like that. That's ridiculous. I'm not a fan of that, but I'm not also a fan of coaches jumping ship before their season's over or already having their next job in line before the season's done. Like, everybody in that North Texas locker room last night knew that Grant McCaslin was heading over to Texas Tech. That must have been fine for some of those players, but what about the program? What about the fans of North Texas in that sense?
I don't think it's a big deal. They know Hodge was getting it anyway, and Hodge has been the guy right there with McCaslin the entire time. So I think that at North Texas, fans were fine with it because they realized that the guy that has been the associate head coach for all these years will now carry over the program and deserves a chance. So, you know, if there was nobody left and he was only there a couple years, I would say, yeah, you're right. Grant McCaslin's been in North Texas for 10 years. He's been very successful. He's had chances to go before. So to me, I don't know. I mean, they already knew who was going to take his place. This was kind of like the worst kept secret in college sports, really. And look at how North Texas responded. They won the whole thing. Good for them.
Well, I guess, North Texas, bad example, but I'm just saying the freedom of a coach to leave whenever they want to go on and get a better job, that's out there for all the coaches. I mean, the players should have that same right there. I would say that there are players who abuse this still, and I think that's probably the problem where we see right now in college basketball, guys who are going to four different colleges in 5 years, that shouldn't happen.
33 past as we continue here on Sports Talk. We'll continue this conversation in a moment, but first, Adrian standing by with another SportsCenter update. Adrian, just got word that Lane won a three-hour match today in his varsity tennis tournament out at Chapin and went 2-for-3 in his matches today. Called it a pretty solid day. Excited about that.
Excellent. I'm so happy for him and happy that he got to go to the varsity level. This is a good good way for Lane to wrap. What is this, wrapping up the tennis season? Is this the district qualifier right here or just a regular tennis match that he's experiencing right here?
I think he just was having an opportunity to play in a big varsity, like was called up to play for varsity. Maybe one of the varsity players wasn't there today, so he went to fill in for.
Like a varsity tournament or invitational? Man, that's really cool.
At Chapin.
Great for Lane. I'm super happy for him.
Absolutely. We'll get Lane back next week on the show. We'll talk all about that. But back to what you're saying, okay? I understand the fact about coaches bailing, and sometimes that happens. It does. Sometimes it happens. There's no doubt about it. Then again, I don't have a problem with players going into the portal. My biggest issue is that if the guys have gotten in the portal once and transferred, should they just be allowed to go in the portal again and again and again, use these kind of, cite these things as reasons why, whether it's mental or other stuff, and be immediately eligible to play as opposed to sitting out a year?
I'll flip it. I feel like the NCAA needs to be better as far as their vetting process, and everybody should be allowed to apply for a waiver. They could hit the portal, but whether they get that waiver granted to have to sit out a year or not sit out a year, that should be on the NCAA. So if anybody should face scrutiny, it's the NCAA on just clearing these waivers or not clearing these waivers. I think that's what we should be talking about here with this.
Line ringing in. 505-6009, 37 past the hour as we continue here on Sports Talk. That's 505-6009. Get you through to the show as the Sports Talk continues here on the program. Esteban tweets us, I read in the New York Times that since California has a statute forbidding state money being spent in Texas, the NCAA is footing the bill for travel for San Diego State. That's interesting. I hadn't heard that one. Have you?
I didn't hear that one myself. That's really interesting. No, I didn't know that one.
Let's go to Dan. He joins us next as we continue. Hi, Dan. How are you?
I am well, Steve. How about yourself?
Doing fine. Just ready for the weekend, Dan.
Yeah, good, good. Well, I'm going to rag on Adrian for a little bit on the statement that he said about coaches can leave any time. Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. And what you said is exactly the mark of our society now. I should be able to do this because somebody else does it. This is the big difference between a coach and a player. If a coach doesn't fulfill the requirements of the university or the boosters, he'll get fired and nobody would care. So therefore, again, me as a coach, if I'm going to get into a better city, into a better program with more money, why should I stay? Versus what you say, Steve. Oh, I'm not getting played. Oh, there's somebody in front of me or somebody as good as me. I don't want to compete. I want my trophy because since I was 6 years old, they gave me a trophy for participation, and I am good. So therefore, I'm going to find a better deal with more money, and the heck with loyalty, the heck with competition, and the heck of being a better individual because I am one of the chosen few, and I can transfer and go somewhere else, and I won't be penalized. That's what's wrong with our society right now, Steve. And you know what? That permeates into our high schools now, too. You know, now every school district in El Paso, you could go anywhere you want. You don't have to live in that area to go to Coronado High School. You don't like Coronado, you don't like the coach, I'm going to go to Chapin, I'm going to go to Franklin, I'm going to go to Bowie because of this and that. And you know what? That's exactly what we as adults, because I don't blame any, I mean, I blame the kids, definitely, but we as adults have allowed that. And that's all I got to say. Thanks a lot, Steve.
Dan, the coaches set the precedent right there by going off and leaving their program if they didn't, you know, have some kind of transparency with their current players. So if you're blaming the current players within a given organization after their coach leaves for hitting the transfer portal, then I'm not sure what you're doing here, because those players are loyal to their coach. If the coach ends up leaving, taking another opportunity, another job opportunity elsewhere, he won't owe anybody anything. So my argument here with the players isn't necessarily about them being given whatever is out there. My argument with these specific players is that they should be given just the opportunity to put themselves in the portal and go on a waiver if they face these circumstances. It's up to the NCAA to grant them that waiver or not. You're not enabling them by doing that. You're actually deterring them from actually hitting the portal if you go that route.
I got you, but, you know, I disagree with one statement. Okay, players are not loyal to the coaches, or they're not there for it because such and such a coach is, because players understand that they may not be there, so I'm there to get the most of what I want. That is my point in society today. I'm there because there's pretty money, because I may get a car, or whatever perk they're going to get. They're not loyal to the coach, you know, at all. I'll tell you what, let's talk about Rodney Terry that you like so much. Yeah, the players may like him. I'll tell you one thing. If the heat comes from Rodney Terry, you know, the heat's going to go into the players, and all of a sudden, they're not going to like him. I have seen that. Like I said, even at the high school level, oh, he's such a good coach. Oh, no, he screamed at me. I want to go transfer to another school, you know. And that's why I don't agree with you on saying that the kid is loyal to a coach at any level. That's not anymore. Maybe it was when I was growing up, but now I don't see it. I don't see it at all.
All right. Appreciate you, Dan. Thanks for getting in. 42 passed. I got Zay on the line. He wants to weigh in on the portal. We'll do that right after this timeout. It's Sports Talk in 600 ESPN El Paso. Back here on Sports Talk, 49 past the hour. Frazier Townley is going to join us from Riot Power. We're going to talk about the Rota Riot, which is a lightning-connected controller for Apple devices that you can actually it's basically a controller to play games and use your phone as like a screen. It's that cool. But, I mean, you don't have to use your phone for the controllers. You've got a controller pad. It's very neat. And he's also going to talk a little F1 with us, since this is the Alpine F1 edition. So Fraser Townley coming up here to begin our 6 o'clock hour, then out to Hags in the ballpark, and before you know it, a little Chihuahuas baseball. So it's going to be a lot of fun today. Alicia has been with us as well today in the studio. Alicia Barona, she's been sitting in. Alicia, where do you stand on the transfer portal, and as you've been hearing Dan's discussion with Adrian, and Adrian talking about loyalty with coaches as well as players, where do you sit on this issue?
I kind of sit on the NCAA needs a little bit more rules, just how much a kid can actually go into the transfer portal. I don't think it should be allowed to go in every single year. I also don't think if a coach is leave, the player should stay, kind of telling them like, okay, I'm going to go, but make sure you stay on the team. I also don't think that's right. And yes, there is adversity, and some players should just go through it and fight for a spot instead of just going to the transfer portal. But I also agree that they should have a chance to go to another team if they're not happy.
I'm with you on that. And yet, if you've transferred out more than once, should you sit out a year or should you be immediately eligible? If
no.
It's your second or third or fourth transfer.
I think you should sit out a year. I think you've had too many chances to prove yourself in different teams. And if you haven't yet, I think you deserve a little break.
Should you lose a year of eligibility in the process or just sit out a year but keep your eligibility?
No, you should lose an eligibility year. I think kids that go 5-6 years, that's just ridiculous. I think the kids in high school should have a chance to play, and those kids are just taking up spots for them.
Adrian, I wonder how many coaches actually leave, like during a season, if you looked at college basketball or college football and compared it to the number of players in the portal.
Oh, it's not even close. It's not even close. I mean, players are going to leave for all sorts of situations, try to get more playing time, less, you know, be at a higher stage, go yeah. elsewhere. Maybe they're being recruited by another coach. I mean, look, there definitely needs to be some sort of limitation when it comes to the amount of times players head into the portal. Or, I mean, you know, the I guess, leniency we have toward players entering the transfer portal. But that's why you have the waiver process. Mm-hmm. Either check it off or cross them off that waiver part and make them sit out of here.
How do you, though, argue mental illness? I mean, that's the one thing. If somebody is going to use, you know, that mental duress as a reason for a transfer, how can you really get to the bottom of it and know, are we dealing with somebody that genuinely has gone through this, or they're just using it as an excuse to get immediately eligible?
I think they have to have some kind of documentation.
Mental health, I should say.
Yeah, and I think the mental health is a really, you know, it's an issue that we've all taken really seriously over the past year, you know, I would say half decade, and especially after the COVID-19 pandemic, a lot of people have really prioritized their own mental health, but have that documentation. If players are going through those challenges, there's a lot of support systems, not even within teams, but on campuses. So they have those kind of counselors that they deal with. So what I'm saying is, yeah, you have to provide that kind of documentation if you would cite those mental health concerns, because we know that those things are really, really important and really, really serious.
And my attitude is that if somebody has been going through sessions with you know, therapists and people like this in the business, and they ultimately want to go someplace else because of that, and they document all that, I'm fine with that. I have no problem with that. But if somebody's going to claim mental health is the reason they're transferring, but they have no documentation, what do you do then? Do you deny it?
I would probably do that. Maybe there are family circumstances back home that I would take into consideration if I were the NCAA. But if a person is just transferring just to see if the grass on the other side is greener, then no need. I mean, if people just want to transfer for whatever reason, I think that's not necessarily the right thing. But if you're out there trying to just better yourself and go off to a different school and you're willing to sit out a year, I'm okay with it. I'm cool with that. Like, if you want to go out and transfer, then you'll suffer the consequences of having to sit out a year.
Yep. Do you lose the eligibility in the process?
I wouldn't say so. I'd go the other way. I'd say no.
So you sit out the year, but you still keep your eligibility. So if you want to go to 4 schools and you sit out 3 years in the process, but you keep all 4 years, you could play 7. You could be there for 7 years in college.
Well, that's what we're dealing with right now. We have 7-year guys. We have 6-year guys. We have 5-year guys. These players who are currently out there in all college athletics, they've been been there for a long time.
Yeah, we're going to come back. We'll do more of this in our 6 o'clock hour. We'll preview the Chihuahuas season with Tim Haggerty a little bit later. But coming up, folks, a segment we don't normally do. We're going to talk a little gaming. That's right. NF1 in the process. Frazier Townley from Riot Power is going to join us live as Sports Talk continues. 600 ESPN El Paso. Start of our final hour here on Sports Talk. Welcome back, everybody. Along with Adrian Broaddus. And again, it's fun today. We've got Alicia Barone with us as well. I'm Steve Kaplowitz. And right now, a segment we never get to do on this show, but I'm so excited about this because I know how many gamers there are out there listening to the program and how many of you play on your, whether it's computers, play on your televisions, play on your iPhones. And speaking of iPhones, joining us right now is Frazier Townley. He is the CEO of Riot Power, and he's going to talk about a controller that gives you the opportunity to play games, including the F1 mobile racing game, while using your phone as the screen and having a controller that connects to it all in one. It is the perfect opportunity for you to game, whether you're at home or on the go. It's what it's all about. Frazier, thanks for joining us today. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good, Steve. How about you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Frazier, first off, congratulations on just developing Riot Power into what it's turned into after all these years. And it kind of makes me wonder, have you always been interested in gaming and controllers? Or is this something that just kind of happened over the last 10, 15 years?
I never grew up, Steve. I actually launched Sega and Nintendo in the UK in the early 90s.
Wow.
And I've never really looked back. I mean, I've done other things. I haven't focused solely on gaming. But it started about 2017. My engineering team and I and a couple of marketing guys, we realized there was about to be an explosion in mobile gaming because of the smart devices that were coming out. We knew the iPhone was out. We knew the iPad had just launched. So we knew that there was something going on, but we didn't quite know what it was going to be. So we've got a couple of patents, and we've designed a couple of products that have been very successful. But right now, we're focused on full-size controllers. We've done the small, the micro portable controllers, but we believe in full-size controllers because now you can play most of the games through the cloud. On your iPhone. So you're going to be playing for prolonged periods. It's not a quick casual game anymore. You could be playing for hours. So we've designed a product that is full size, gives you the full comfort of a console gaming experience. And with the power pass-through, it allows you to charge the phone while you're gaming. So you never have to stop, take a break, or obviously there are times you are going to want to take a break, but it's the ultimate experience.
And by the way, we're going to give fans and listeners in just a little bit a chance to win a couple of these, actually four of the Riot Power Alpine Edition controllers. So, folks, we'll do that in a little bit where you'll get a chance to actually take one of these home with you. We've got them at the station. And Frazier and his team were kind enough to provide these for our listeners here during this conversation. All right, take me back to the early 90s. You just said in passing that you brought Sega and Nintendo to the UK. That is a big deal, and I can understand because having gone to college in the early 90s when Sega first got really popular in the States, what that must have been like over there. When you were growing up, was gaming popular in Europe the way it was here in the States, or didn't it not really arrive until the 90s?
So I actually started life in the 80s. With home computers for one of the largest electronic retailers in the UK, Dixon's. Prior to that, growing up, we were of the age where you went out and played on bomb sites. Britain was still repairing itself from World War II. So, you know, if you found a wall, a brick wall, you'd play tennis against that wall. I mean, we didn't have video games. So I guess I was the spoiled one.
First off, I grew up in the same period with you, especially when you wanted to do something, you just went outside and played. It's simply that's changed, Frazier, over the years. Now, because of technology and portability and you know, being able to pack such a large punch in these smaller devices, people have the opportunity to really play games wherever they want, whenever they want, which kind of takes us to the Rotor Riot and the brand new Riot Power Alpine Edition controller. When you started this out, how were you able to get F1 on board and partner with them on the Alpine F1 Team Edition?
That's a really interesting question. It all started in 2019 when there was a typhoon in Japan and there was no race. They had to cancel the race. So what they did to fill the column inches is they showed images of Max Verstappen playing FIFA soccer on his mobile Xbox. And I wrote to F1 and I said, this is crazy. If you are going to film him playing a video game, it should at least be the F1 game. Mm-hmm. And instead of filming him on a big, bulky mobile Xbox, you should film him with our controller. And that's how the relationship actually bonded. It was me being a bit chancy and calling up and pointing out that if you're trying to promote F1, you don't promote FIFA.
I like the fact that they listened to you. That was the first important part of this concept. And then you were able to kind of put this whole thing together. Now, F1 is a game that's available on the iTunes Store for Apple devices. And now, when you download this game, you don't have to worry about trying to use any of the phone equipment itself that's attached to the phone to control it. You can play with, as you said, a full-size controller, and you have the phone that fits right above the controller, and it plugs into the Lightning port. So it's like the best of everything, right?
Zero latency, no connection. There's no software to install. You just plug it in and it starts straight away. You're absolutely right. And that's the mobile version of the F1 game. The full-size F1 games you see in the simulators, that can also be played on your iPhone via Game Pass. So you're streaming from Xbox's servers to your phone. And it's a seamless experience. It's fantastic.
Especially as we've started to see Wi-Fi get better and better than ever. People now don't have to worry about trying to get 20 megs down and two or three up. Now you can get hundreds and hundreds, and suddenly you've got some homes have a faster Wi-Fi than most offices and business complexes.
For sure, and 5G is good enough as well. So if you're not in the home, you're still going to get the speeds you need to have to do gaming, streaming gaming, because you're not actually streaming a great deal of data. You're streaming the video content only. All of the processing is going on in the cloud.
Frazier Townley is the CEO of Riot Power, and he's joining us here on Sports Talk as we talk about the Riot Power Alpine Edition controller here on the show, which, again, you'll have an opportunity to win in just a little bit. It's not just about the F1 mobile racing game, though. This thing is compatible with a ton of games.
Yeah, absolutely. There's over 1,000 games on the App Store. Then there's all of the catalog for Xbox on the Game Pass. Plus, there's other uses. So if you imagine using this to control remote control vehicles or drones or submersibles or stuff like that, the controller will work with the apps that control all of these other applications. So there's thousands of games and there's thousands of uses.
Now, this thing's available everywhere. Apple has it on their on apple.com. You can find it on Amazon. You can find it at Best Buy. You can find it on your website. A lot of spots. Now, I know that for you, if you put something together, it's all about innovation. It's all about accessibility. And my next question would be for those Android folks out there that are looking for the same kind of device for their Androids, is this something that you guys are working on so ultimately you could try to corner the market and have it for everybody? Apple, Android devices, everyone that wants it.
So we do have an Android device, and it is available in all of the outlets you mentioned, with the exception of Apple, obviously. And it's in motion in all of the airport stores. So we do have an Android device. Unfortunately, because the operating systems are different and the protocols are different, we can't have a one product fits all. So we have an Android product and we have an iOS product as well.
Okay, but the point is, you've got it for everybody that has phones. Now, I saw an old video 10 years ago that showed you building something like similar, but it was for a tablet. And, you know, this is back in the early 2010s, and thinking that, so you've been doing this for a while with this company, haven't you?
Yeah, so that was, it all started with a tablet, in actual fact, in the early days. And we say early days, back in 2010, you had to own the firmware, because the firmwares that were available from Android or from Apple didn't have the protocols for, it's called HID, human interface. So it didn't have those, the gameplay protocols in their OS. So we had to build our own product to put, to attach our controller to. As soon as Google and Apple, and it was around about the same time, 2013, as soon as they put the HID protocols into their operating systems, we said, okay, we do not need to be making our own tablet. Apple do a good enough job with the iPad. Let's just focus on the controllers.
And the rest is history.
And the rest is history, yeah.
Oh, I love it. Frazier, here's my question, okay? So you've got this this now, which, again, a terrific controller, no batteries, no Wi-Fi to use. It goes right off the phone. It's got the pass-through charge capability. You can play F1 Mobile. You can play 1,000 games. You mentioned all the other opportunities and what it does. And it sounds like, since you've been at this for a long time and you're never going to grow up, we're going to keep finding more and more innovations to come out every few years. How do you find a way to make this even better, or is that possible? Have you found a way to pretty much make this the perfect controller for somebody?
Well, first of all, the perfect controller, there's two ways to make the perfect controller. The first is the perfect comfort, and I think we're fairly close. But let's not forget, we're making it fit a hand. So the hand is already there. So we're really not doing that much innovation when it comes to comfort. It's all about the inputs. And we do have one or two things up our sleeve that we've been working on that we're going to be introducing sometime this year that will be innovative and we think will get people's attention. But quite frankly, at the end of the day, we're always going to be using our hands to input and to manipulate. It'll be a long time before we're, I don't know if you've seen that show with Chloe Grace Moretz called Peripheral, where she's got a headset and she's thinking through the game.
Mm-hmm.
We're a long, long way from that. So I think we're always going to have hand controllers for a long time to come.
I agree with you. But still, you see how much we've evolved and how many people are on their phones and how many people play games. Does it blow your mind when you go to an airport or someplace and you start to see people on their phones and they're using it for everything but a phone, Frazier? It's almost as if they've got a device that now is the most powerful computer gaming device. And, oh, yeah, by the way, it actually makes calls.
So let me give you two stats that will perhaps blow you away even further. Hollywood is a $20 billion market. And that's a fact. You can look it up. I think in the USA, I think $11 billion is the record for the box office for the year. Gaming is $180 billion. So it's a magnitude. It's nine times bigger as a sector. So that's one thing. The other thing is Netflix have announced that 50% of their 214 million subscribers watch content on their phone. So you can see where this is all converging.
And it's just going to keep growing and getting bigger and bigger and bigger in years to come. That's what's crazy. Not to mention, kids today, this is all they know. This is to them, this is normal. I mean, you know, you said it earlier. You didn't grow up like this. I didn't grow up like this. We've seen it change. You've obviously incorporated that into a business model and done very well. But think about people that have come into this world, and to them, this is all they know because this is what they've seen since they were little.
I'll tell you, I saw something the other day that made me laugh. I saw a child with a magazine, and they were trying to pinch and stretch the image on the page. It blew them away that they couldn't manipulate the image the way kids manipulate images on their screens. What we grew up with and what the world is growing up with. Could you imagine not having free Wi-Fi these days?
No. No.
There was Wi-Fi 20 years ago.
I remember when data was such a premium that after, a very, very small amount, you were being nickel and dime for everything. And now we're in an unlimited world, and it's affordable. Go figure.
Crazy.
It is. I agree with you.
How many phone lines did you have growing up?
One.
There you go.
And by the way, call waiting was a big deal when it first happened because we had plenty of people that when you called them and they weren't around, there was a busy signal. There was no call waiting. It was you called somebody, and if they were on the phone, you got a busy signal.
If our phone rang in the house, everybody knew who was on the phone, and everybody knew what was being said. Nowadays, they're video chatting in every room in the house, and you have no clue who they're talking to or what they're saying.
I'm with you.
It's insane.
Frazier, how are we going to give our listeners an opportunity to get four of these Rotor Riot lightning-connected controllers for Apple and iPhone devices, whether it's iPhones, which is really the bread and butter here? What's the best way we're going to do it? Let's go.
I think you should do a call-in.
Okay.
And I think the first four people that come in, call in with, that can name a Formula One driver, can gets the prize.
I think that works very well. And that's all you got to do is call into the show at 505-6009 and name, and you don't even have to be on air. You could do this off air and just name a Formula One driver. And you do that, and by the way, active, former, we're not going to be picky. You just name an F1 driver, and we will give you one of these great controllers for the first four listeners that do that. I love that. I think that's terrific. That is terrific. Before I let you go, F1 is huge right now.
Yep.
And I've seen races in Austin that are enormous. Mexico City is big. You could say that F1 is the fastest growing sport right now in the world.
It is. You know what's faster? Esports. But other than that, it's Formula One. So I'm in the right. I'm in the right sport with the right device.
You sure are. And we appreciate you spending so much time with us here on the program today. Frazier, thanks again. Congratulations again. If you would like to get a copy of or pick up the Lightning Connected Controller, you can get it at Apple.com, Best Buy, Amazon. You can go also to Riot Power's website as well. It's RiotPWR.com and check that out. Lots of ways to do it. Or you could just call into the show and name an F1 driver right now, and you're going to get one. It's that simple. Appreciate it, Frazier. Thank you so much for the time and giving us such a great understanding of where we're headed right now. To me, it's fascinating, and can't wait to keep track with you and see what you've got next for us.
Terrific. Thanks a lot, Steve.
You got
Thank
it.
You.
He's
Take care.
You too. Frazier Townley, folks, as we continue here on the program. 20 past. We'll come back with more in a moment. Stay with us. Sports Talk continues. 600 ESPN El Paso.